The only thing worse than my golf game right now is my voice. And the sad thing is I don't make any money playing golf. But I make money with this voice. Golf DMV, it's Claude. Even though I don't sound like, I don't even know what I sound like. LB, what do I sound like?
You sound like you're sick.
Okay. Vern, what do you think?
To me, you kind of sound like Ghostface from like the Purple Tape days. That's what you kind of
okay.
got the raspy,
right.
you know.
There
so if you
go.
Started rapping, you could maybe turn
if
it into
only I was a rapper
second.
or a gangster. Probably, probably make somebody a lot of stuff to talk about, even though I guess if you look at professional golf, you're like, well, what are they going to talk about? Look at the weather in the DMV. What are they going to talk about? Lots of stuff to get to, including form over function, etiquette questions. We also got some stuff as far as the carts and the Champions Tour and things like that. Lawrence did play golf in Florida while he was covering the Players, but we talked so much about the Players, we didn't get a chance to talk about the golf he played in Florida. Let's talk a little bit about Peter Malnati, unless you guys don't want to. I don't want to talk about Peter Malnati. Okay, fine. Okay. All
yeah,
right.
We do. I do want to talk about
it. He won. Oh, I do have a customer service is the easiest thing to get right update. So I don't know why more people don't get it right, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay.
Right.
LB, Peter Malnati. Go ahead. I'm going to mute because my voice is horrible.
Okay.
And I don't want to talk about Peter Malnati. I mean, okay, he won. Listen, if you were to substitute Peter Malnati with Claude Jennings III, a.k.a. Manny, I would talk about him all day. But, you know.
Right. Okay. You're not related to him. So, yeah, you got it. Okay.
All right. Well, Vern and I got this.
Thanks.
So, in watching the PGA, I did watch – only watched, like, the second half of the final round is what I saw. I didn't see any of the earlier parts of the tournament.
Okay.
And so I'm watching it, and, you know, it's – kind of gets dramatic on the end, you know, people blowing up and everything, trying to give the tournament away. But Peter comes through and he wins,
right?
Which is fine. You know, I have nothing against it. I like his hat. Personally, I like his hat. I like that kind of hat. I got to find me one like that. Mm-hmm. But with Golf DMV on it, not Titleist or whatever the hell he had. but so when he wins and they're talking to him and he starts to cry. Now, I am a person who, as of late, have been going, and I'm not ashamed to say, I'm in therapy now.
Sure.
Going through all of the life events I've had over the last year, 6 months or so, 8 months, however long it's been. I'm trying to get in touch with my emotions and, you know, grief and all that kind of stuff. So as a person who doesn't normally cry, I have a hard time understanding the tears of joy, because I've been looking back over my life and trying to remember a time that I was so happy about something that it brought me to tears. And I can't think of a time. Every right. time I think about the time that I cried, it was sadness. It was death. It was some pain. You know what right. I mean? It was nothing good.
Things be associated with tears.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So not to pick on him, but it just struck me yesterday. I've seen this before. You see it on football players sometimes, and these big, huge, you know, athletes, 300 yeah. pounds, you know, 2% body fat, hulking men, boo-hooing like babies after they win something. And maybe I just haven't won anything. maybe I'm a loser. Maybe that's what it is, and I haven't won anything significant enough to bring me to tears.
Yeah.
But it just kind of struck me as it's a golf tournament, dude. Why are we crying?
So I agree with you in that. Like, I've also never cried tears of joy, LB, and I don't know that I would be a tears of joy person. When I experience elation.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think I understand why it happens. I think because instead of relating it to the external event of like, oh, it's a golf tournament or it's the Super Bowl, it's not that. It's climbing Everest. It is whatever the mountain is, everybody has their own mountain. Whatever the right. mountain is, they've done it. They've gotten to the top. And then, you know, if you want to talk like, I mean, I'm not a biologist either, but basically the flood of emotions and it caused different people to react different ways.
Right.
Some with speechlessness.
Yeah.
Some dumbfounded, some tears or whatever. And this the opposite of this happens too, where people get angry. I've seen people, I've been in situations too, where people like are about to fight, like people who are legit exactly. fighters or whatever, and they start tearing up. And then like, at least particular high school, people start being like, oh, he crying. I was like, nah, it's not what you think it is, bro. Like,
yeah, now that has happened to me.
He finna
that
go.
That has in. Happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, but anyway, so I think it's just a flood of door. And then that's the, you know, that's very specific biology. Welcome to biology lesson with the Golf TV podcast. But no, I think the more sport part of it is just it's that mountain analogy. Like you've the Malnati video, I like it because I'm with you. Initially, I was like, oh man, my man is like, but when I thought about it, I was like, no, we talk about this every week. We talk about every week about LA, or specifically when we talked to Danielle, or like when we had like way back when we had Hooks on those AP, the mini tour guys, how hard it is to win on the tour. And Malnati's video to me would be perfect to show like somebody who says, hey, you know what, I'm considering leaving, you know, high school early or college or whatever to go join the tour. I'm gonna show you Scheffler stuff, and I'm gonna show you Dom stuff, and I'm gonna show you these videos just so you get a taste of it. It's like, okay. And the other thing I like about it is what he said about how hard he wasn't talking, bro. You would have thought I don't know. You would have thought he won an award for like working at a company for like 30 years. He was like, yeah, you know, you have two kids and it's, I'm trying to live a life out here. What I like about it is that it is a stark contrast from what you could have told me 10 years ago when I started playing golf. If you had told me that that's what it's like, I assumed it was all just like we talked
and
about before, just
games.
hey, fun and games, country clubs. We're all wealthy, and you know, even those of us
Private
who only make,
jets.
yeah, two, even for those of us who don't, we, yeah, I still make, you know, $250,000 a year and blah blah blah. No, I liked it because my man was like, yo, I've 9 years. 9 years to keep. So you have to imagine in that 9 years, he's struggling. He's probably at some points where he's just trying to keep his car. He's just trying to stay on tour. That's a long time to stay on without winning. So I was happy. I was definitely happy for him. Real quick side note, before you jump in here, Claude. So I watched the recap. I didn't watch any of the tournament at all. I watched the full recap yesterday on NBC Sports on their YouTube channel. And the best part, I just watched like the round four, like highlights. The best part about this is, I didn't know anything about this field. I had no idea what was going on. And so they're showing you highlights, right? So it's like, oh, Malnati on hole one and two, and they're cutting to the different highlights, right? And each between each scene they cut, you can see the leaderboard down there. And so I'm watching the first highlight of Malnati do something, and I glance down, it's Hadwin and Moore. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I see another one and some other names. And then at the third highlight, who pops up at number seven? Scheffler. I said, oh, there's Jason in the background. He's there. I said, what's up? Now I know he didn't win. But I was like, this MF won't let anybody have anything. And so,
Ever, ever.
Well,
as a
not
hot
that's not Scheffler, but
Shoffley,
Shoffley.
What was it, Shoffley?
This is
Scheffler wasn't
Xander.
there. Yeah,
Oh,
Xander was
okay, it was
Xander.
Shoffley. Okay,
But yeah,
I misread
even
it.
something that
I
resembles
wanted to
his
see him.
name. The difference between
I
Jordan
was scared.
and the difference between Jordan Spieth.
I was scared. I had that wrong.
And
Good. I could leave that point alone. It was
but
wrong
that's
with him.
the
But
difference between Jordan Spieth and
no.
our guy. Yeah, is
Yeah,
that
but
just the mention of his name brings fear in
brings fear
the
into
golf
my heart. Yeah,
course.
Shoffley was out there.
Jordan
Well,
Spieth's actual name does not bring fear into anybody.
no. And then Shoffley went up to four and he came back down. But no, but I think that's what it is. I mean, he climbed the mountain like when you finally achieve it, the flood of emotion hits you and you just don't know. And he's got
A
his
life,
and
a life, a lifetime worth of work has been
100%.
has
Right.
culminated 100%. And he's got
in
a
this
son there
win.
and his wife, and it's gonna come out of you. So I was happy for Cook.
Yeah, I
I
was happy
liked
for
him.
him too, but like I
Yeah,
say,
you thought it was a bit much.
I need something that, I would like for something happy like that would drive me to tears.
Right.
Maybe it's a lottery. Maybe I'm going to win the lottery tonight. Who knows? I did play, so I'm gonna put that in the atmosphere. I'm
Yeah,
knocking on
1.2
wood.
billion.
Putting that in the
Remember
atmosphere.
your
I
friends.
would, I'd cry for that, maybe. Hopefully,
Yeah.
maybe.
Yeah.
Let's find out. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see if
Yeah.
I'll cry
Let's
when I
see,
win that.
universe.
Yeah, let's see,
I'd
universe,
love
if
to
you can make
see
me
you win
cry.
that. Yeah, I'd love to see you win
I would love to see you win it.
that.
Yeah.
I do try to think. So I'm thinking back. I don't know if I ever saw a Tiger cry tears of joy when he won, outside of maybe after his father passed
Yes,
or
the major
that
after his
one.
dad passed. Yeah.
And then the
Is it
one
2019? He did?
when he won the Masters, and yeah, after all the drama and stuff, and he
With the
finally won
kids
another
there.
major. I think those, but again, like Vern said, I think it's because there was this like climbing Mount Everest experience. Like, I don't know if I can ever do this again. And you put everything into something and you actually are able to do it. But yeah, I'm not a big, I can't remember ever crying tears of joy. And I also remember very few tears of grief in my life as well. And you know what that is, I don't know. Maybe I got to speak
I
to a
think
therapist.
for sports, crying is a reflection of uncertainty. So you just clarified it for me, Claude. It's a reflection of
You're just
uncertainty.
thinking
It'll
about
be,
everything you've done. Like you're literally thinking about yourself, and you're thinking about the you that didn't know whether I'd be able to do this or
That right
didn't
there,
know
you
if I'd
don't.
or
Yes.
qualify or pay next month's mortgage,
Yeah.
but you did what you had to do, and now here I am, and you're like you're releasing everything.
Yeah, it's relief. Crying, it's relief. That's 100% it. Because you just clarified it for me when you mentioned Tiger, and you can think about this with anybody who's hot right now, Scheffler, Rahm, or somebody else. Like Scheffler wins back-to-back players championships. It's like, hey, it's like it's so the contrast of I've toiled 9 years to get. Because she said at the end, she's like, "Congratulations on being a two-time winner on the PGA Tour." I was like, "My God, my man! Like, if he won the Masters, he would explode into dust." Because, but it's the expectation. It's he doesn't, like you said, you don't know. And then you contrast that with like Tiger in his prime, and it's totally different where it's just like a regular weekly tour or even another major. It's just like, oh yeah, I expect to win these. I expect to be in these.
I do think if McIlroy wins the Masters, he'll cry.
100%.
I think if JT wins another major or another
if he wins the tournament, he's gonna cry. If he get a top three, he gonna cry.
We miss you, JT. We'd like to see you back.
No, we love JT. You know what I mean?
I do, but
more so,
man,
we love JT more because of Bones. That's
exactly,
our guy.
exactly.
And, if Jordan Spieth wins another one, he's crying. I mean,
Oh, for
because they've
sure.
been there, and then they, you know, they just
When you
there they
don't know
are.
you're gonna get it back.
The only one who, if they win another major, like if Dustin Johnson wins another major, he's not crying.
No, not at all. No,
Guess I
no.
won another tournament.
The trophy, just throw it in the back of the car.
Buy another boat.
Right. Dustin will literally look at his green jacket and say, I have one of these. Can I trade this one in for shop credit to buy a hat and a polo and a towel?
The people in the back just pour shot like, wait, what? I don't think we're allowed to do that. Look at
Again, it reminds me of my favorite L I can't remember my favorite LPGA moment. I can't remember, I always forget her name, but the one who won, I forget which major it was, might have been the US Open. But she's sitting there in the pro shop
Oh
afterwards,
yeah.
this video of her.
Oh, that's is a Sasa.
That's a She's got the
This is
trophy on
San
the
Francisco, right? Harding
ground.
Park.
Yes, she's got the trophy on the ground. She's dragging it through the pro shop, looking for a shirt or like a Yeti cup or something. Trophy. Because they win trophies. They do this. They win trophies. They've done this before. And she's just like, I'm gonna go to the pro shop and buy something, and then I'm gonna head to the airport.
Some
It is
souvenirs.
funny. It is 100% golf too that she would actually that they would make her pay for it. Like, okay, cool.
Right,
Remember
exactly.
here? No,
Right.
no.
I don't see your name in the list.
US Women's Open. Okay, well,
Oh, I'm sorry.
yeah.
Did you win shop credit? Because other than that, you have to whip out your credit card because it's not free. So golf. Golf is so
Oh
stupid.
man.
So let's talk a little bit about customer service because I'm going to try to talk and then leave the rest of the show to you guys. But
Okay.
so customer service. Talk about it on the golf course. I want to talk about it at like golf shops, right? So let me just tell you the beginning of the story is I'm at City Swing. 11-year-old Manny is swinging his old clubs. He got clubs for like 9 to 12-year-olds. Getting a little taller. They're a little short for him. At City Swing, he picks up the Callaway Paradigms. And he's doing fine with them, cranking them. So I'm like, well, maybe I got to get him some clubs for that 13 to 15-year-old range or try adult clubs, right? So we go to, I'm just going to put him on blast, City Swing. Not City, I'm sorry. We go to Second Swing. Second Swing in Columbia. There was a woman who helped us. And we go over to the youth clubs. We look at the 13 to 15-year-old range. We get those clubs. And he's doing all right, but basically what he does with his old clubs with those, right? The 9 to 12-year-old. So I'm like, well, we were at City Swing and he was doing pretty good with the adult clubs. Can we test some? She did everything in her power to stop us from even letting him hit like the lowest brand adult clubs, period. And I'm like, if we're
Why?
buying, and that's what's interesting to me because it's like, it's one thing to like look out for him. I'm like, well, I don't know if you should pay all this money for these or whether it'd be good for him. At least let's see it. Because I'm giving you the story about what happened the weekend before, right? And so she kind of lets she like flippantly was like, okay, well, here's a club. Just let him hit this one. And so I made my mind, I'm like, okay, we're not buying anything from here. Like, you know, whatever. So Manny, because he's 11, he's upset. But dad, we gotta try the adult clubs. But dad, it's like stop it because you don't understand this. I feel like Cliff Huxtable trying to teach his kids how to buy cars. Like they don't want any business here because they're not even paying attention to what we're saying. She's just so anyway. Put those back. Then we go to Golf Galaxy. I explain the same situation to a gentleman there. He's like, okay, well here's the thing. Here are these clubs for teens. Here are the ones for adults. Try them both if you want. You know, who knows what he's going to grow? Who knows how he's going to grow in the next year, year and a half?
Right.
He may not need these, you know, in between ones. He may be good for the adult clubs. Who knows? Let's just try them both. We can downsize them. He can grip them down. Take all your time you want in the simulator. Do whatever you want to do. I
If
said,
I could interject here real quick on it, it's weird. It sounds almost like the people at Golf Galaxy want your business and money, but it sounds like the second swing people were too
right.
busy to get money. Maybe they registered for full that day or.
And I told him about that experience at Second Swing, and he said, "Well, you're the one with the money." And so,
I bet he's called it
right, he said, "So do whatever you want to do. And hopefully, after an hour or so, you decide you want to spend your money here and do and whatever you want to get is what you want to get."
Wow.
And so, you know, I just felt like customer service again is easy to get.
He
Yes,
didn't say,
right.
hey, you were like, hey, can I, what are these custom Mira fresh blade clubs? Hey, pick
Right,
those down
right,
off the rack and let us hit those around on the bottom of the mat
right,
for an hour.
right,
No,
right.
you're a golf shop who's like both, especially second swing with all those bays. I would assume
Right.
that you have multiple sets of trial clubs for the whole purpose. Oh yeah, bang them out. Like see what you can do.
Well, and see,
Da
here's the
da
thing that the homie did at Golf Galaxy that I thought was so great was that he was like, "Well, here's the thing. We do have those clubs that's between the 13 to 15-year-olds, and they're only $25 less than like this beginner
Oh,
top
then a full
flight
set.
or Cobra clubs, right?" And so he says, "Well, why not try these and the other ones? And they're only $25 more." And
Difference,
so,
right.
instead of having to upgrade twice, you
Right.
can,
Right. Save
right.
yourself some money and
Yeah.
time.
Yeah. Upgrade once, let him get used to these. And we were in the Bay, and he did better with the top flight adult ones than he did with the other ones. And so, okay, cool. So now he's got the 9 to 12 to be a transition into the adult ones, right? And he got our business. And so what I was trying to explain to Manny was, you got to understand when your business is not wanted or when it's not valued. The lady at Second Swing did not value it at all. She seemed bothered by it. Like, and I understand bringing an 11-year-old in and saying, "Hey, I want to try these adult, you know," you're like, "Come on, man." I
No, well,
understand that.
hold on. Was she a PGA pro? Like, this wasn't a fitting. I don't
No, it
need
wasn't
you
a
to
fitting.
do
She
anything.
works there. She works
Yeah,
there.
just
Yeah, she
bring
just
me.
a,
Do
yeah.
you have sets of clubs
That
that we can hit, like a set, trial set? If the answer is no, in this big, huge store, I'm
Right.
going around the corner to Golf Galaxy Columbia, and they will get the money because again, their registers are not full. I understand yours are too flush with cash, so.
Right.
And then, right. And the thing is, I understand, like you see, like an 11-year-old and a father, you may think, "Oh, here's another dad who think his kid's gonna go pro
Next
in
Tiger
4 years."
Woods. Yep.
Here's a, I get it, but at the same time, you don't know if that's the case. Why not just like, if we weren't in there, you're literally leaning against the wall waiting for someone else to come in.
I don't buy that excuse because like again, what are we doing here if not to sell clubs? Who what it's not my job to discern. It's like, oh, well, he's not skilled enough to buy them. But if the manufacturer heard that, she'll be fired. They'd be like, no, get somebody in here who wants to sell them our Cobra clubs or our Top
Right.
Flight or whatever.
And the crazy thing is the guy who was at, you know, Golf Galaxy, you know, I was talking to him about the City Swing situation, with the paradigms and how many seems like, "Well, you definitely don't want to spend $1,800 on some irons for him." Like he's,
Yeah,
you
of
know,
course
he
not.
said, "But
Right.
these top flights and these Cobra sets, these are maybe $25 more. Let's have him hit these." I'm like, "That's all I'm saying. Like, let's just take a
Right.
look at it."
Take a side at.
Exactly. So, you know, we end up buying those, and then I gave him a little tip on the side, like just because, just out of the respect of it all. You know what I
Right,
mean?
right.
Just the
Yeah.
respect. And then I went to, today I went to Golfdom, and the guy there
Tyson's
in Rockville,
Rockville. Okay.
they opened a new one, like in Rockville.
Yeah, because Worldwide Golf has taken over all of them. They had one in Tyson's because there's one here in Annapolis. There was an old shop here in Annapolis that was unaffiliated. They own them now. And okay, all right, so.
Step in, just look for another little small carry bag because, you know, the big top flight bag is too big and clunky. I'm not having Manny carry that. I'm looking for a small, little small bag. So anyway, I grab one and I'm looking to purchase some other things. And the guy's like, "Is this it?" I'm like, "Well, I'm gonna come back. I want to get this." "Okay, is that it?" Like, "Well, there's another thing I'm looking for. Is this it?" It's like, "Dude, I'm just putting the stuff up here. Just wait. No one's in line.
Right. Yeah.
As a
Just
matter of
sit
fact,
this. Yeah.
no
Go
one's in
ahead.
the store. No one's in the store. Like, I'm just sitting this here and sitting these things here."
So I have to carry it around while I'm looking for some other stuff.
See, that
Come
would
on,
make me want
man.
to be like, if I had the time, let me just go to the PGA Superstore really quick and just see how they treat it when I start piling stuff up on the counter. Because most places
Right.
I go, they're like, oh, hey, please
Take your time.
explore
Yes,
the rest of the
exactly.
store.
Anything I
Take
can
your
help you find?
time. I'll throw this stuff behind the register. I'll move it over here. Do whatever you want to do. Like,
Would you
what
like to
is the
apply for store
problem?
credit?
Yes, what's the problem when people don't want to do this like easy stuff? That's just easy customer service. I don't understand it. It's easy. It costs you absolutely nothing. And he seemed, Bob, now, by the way, I still bought the stuff from there because I thought it was a good deal. But like to see, like to rush people or to not listen to someone or to, you know what I mean? Like my thing is, even if someone comes in your store, they want to buy the highest end clubs they can get and their swing is trash and you think it's better for them to do something else, talk to them about it. Show them. Invest in their time.
If I can interject again, welcome to the Old Man Complaining podcast. But this is what it is. This is what we're gonna do. You're here with us. Like the idea you said, customer service. To me, this is the bar has gotten lower, LB, for customer service.
Yeah, it
If
absolutely has.
we're just talking about selling me a thing, I come in with money
Money.
to
You're supposed to give
spend.
me something in
It's
return.
different if I said, hey, I need you to bring me every six iron in the building, but then tipped in a specific set. Like it's a super complex. Nope. Hey, kids wants clubs. Can he hit clubs? Sure. Easy. Like that's to me, that's like your that's the job one of the sales associate is to sell. It's in the first letter, sales associate, sell. And then everything else on top of that is customer service, making people want it, but sure. But the minimum and then not rushing out the store. But what I want to say is now I want all sales reps for golf to have the attitude of the lady in second swing. What I would like, because think about how much of our golfing lives at the beginning of each season from the manufacturers is hype about the new club and the new thing. Imagine going to like a fitting day on a driving range and it's the opposite. They don't want to sell you clubs based on how your swing looks. Do you know how few sales they would have? All those trash people. Like, so you go up like, hey, I'm really interested. There's this mid handicapper who has no business trying to go into players' irons. The way it is now, he would get sold into them. No, not in the future. It's just like, let me see. No, you suck,
No,
man.
your swing is not good
No,
enough for
keep
that.
the clubs
Take
you
your own
have.
clubs.
We
Your
don't
own
want
clubs back.
this
You
money
don't
over
need
here. Like they're only judging sales based on how good. Like somebody comes in and stripes one. It was like, all right, we'll sell to you. We agreed to sell these clubs to you. Like they're hoarding.
But only if you play on certain days of the week.
Yeah, like they're hoarding precious property or something. It's just like, no, you don't
It's
qualify.
like
You
I'd
can't play
almost
this.
rather have a salesperson who's trying to dupe me. You know what I mean? Like hit me with the okie doke. Yeah, someone who won't pay attention to what I'm saying. Like at least say, you know what? No, you're right. I think your son should hit these, you know, these Mizuno, whatever. They're $2,500, but I'm telling you, he's gonna be
Tell you,
great
he's
with
gonna love
these.
him. Nope, complete opposite. Hey, we just want this $300 Titleist set. Let me see him swing. No, I'm disgusted by this. No, go get junior clubs, go get free off the rack clubs. So you don't want to sell me? No, I won't sell you. I don't want your money. I
No,
want you to
he
get out of
needs
here.
lessons before he gets clubs.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That is a ridiculous
But
perk.
to your point, though, it's customer service, and I think it really started. Well, take that back. It's been getting worse all along, but I think it was accentuated with the COVID. It took a dramatic drop then because people got out of work, and then when people needed to go back to work, they didn't want to go back to work,
Yeah.
and it's just the whole
Also,
thing of
interactions with humans came down for a whole subset of like teenagers and young adults and stuff that you don't know how
They
to
don't
talk
want to
to.
talk to you. It's like I'm not a McDonald's person, but I did go in there one time, like 3, 4 years ago, to get some French fries because that's the only thing I would eat out of that place. And you go in there and they say, well, no, I'm talking to a person. She says, no, you have to go over there and talk to the machine, and then I'll hand you the fries. I'm like, but you standing right here in front of the register. Why can't I just tell you and you take my money here?
Because
No,
you
you
can't.
got to go over there and do it from the
Yeah,
machine. I said, okay. And I turned and walked out. I haven't been back in one since.
I
I didn't want the fries that bad. I have to go
understand.
talk to the machine. Come on, people.
I'm talking to you. Like, no, you can't.
The
Like,
machine, I can't tell you, but the machine can tell you to get me some French fries, but I can't tell you when
That's
you
right.
and I are standing here
Because
talking.
this is where we're headed.
Right.
The
Yeah,
machine overlords. I don't want him to
I
see
am not
me.
part of the I will not be part of that world. I'll be hungry. But
Oh, man.
before
Right,
we
so.
leave Valspar, because we were talking about that dude, because we're gonna get to Joel. Then we're gonna segue to Full Swing.
Okay.
Well, I've
You're gonna
already told you what
segue to
I'm
Full
gonna
Swing?
do.
Okay. All right. All right. Now's
All
the
right.
part.
So again, after watching Peter cry and all that stuff, I went back and looked at the leaderboard and who was in it and who wasn't in it. Cameron Champ bubbled up, and he got a paycheck, $60,000 paycheck. Good for him. Because I root for this guy, but he disappoints me consistently.
Yeah, he's not really been in the mix really the past
No,
couple
no. And he was up there
years.
for a little while yesterday, and then he faded back. I think he shot 74 on Sunday.
Yeah, it's not
Can't
gonna
you
get
can't do that on Sunday. You can't do that on
Cam
Sunday.
Young was in the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. JT was in the field. JT made the
Oh.
cut, but he shot a 79 on
Ooh.
Saturday.
Yeah, he had a blow up on 10 or
Oh yeah,
something.
he
I
did have
heard
a
about
blow. Oh
this.
yeah.
Yes, 79 on Saturday. He ended up at tied for 64th place at +3, $18,000. Bones is not going to be happy with this. Bones is not going to be happy with this at all.
Our good friend Bones, so you had
Our
a
good friend
conversation
Bones.
with him a
Exactly.
couple
Yeah.
weeks
Who
ago, and
actually
he was,
recognized me. Yes.
yeah, he saw you and knew who you were. We'll keep
Yeah.
that private,
That
but
is impressive, yeah.
until a
Yeah.
future
Right.
situation. But yeah,
Man,
that's
he's
our guy.
probably, well, never mind. I won't say that. And then finally, as we segue to full swing, Joel Damon was in the field. He finished even at T49. He got $21,151 for his efforts
Not
over
gonna
the
cut it for
weekend.
that house, my guy.
Yeah.
Joel Damon. Let's go to full
Yes,
swing.
let's go to full swing.
Let's go to
So
full swing.
yeah. So I haven't watched, I hadn't I honestly had forgotten about it until Claude mentioned it last week, and then I caught up with it. I finished season three. I'm sorry. I finished episode three this morning. I watched the first two last night. And just some couple of notes, and then we can get into the particulars of Mr. Damon.
Okay.
I still don't like Brooks Koepka's wife. No, in
Okay.
season two, I
She's
yeah, she,
unlikable. She's unlikable.
yeah,
She, I
it's,
mean,
looking for the camera.
yeah,
She's
exactly.
definitely, she's trying to start a Real Housewives of the PGA Tour show. She, yeah.
Okay, yeah,
Not
because
even.
she was dressed like she was ready for the red carpet. You know what I
Well,
mean?
if you remember episode one, not only she was the only wife that got so much screen time, she's the only wife with so much screen time in a bikini, okay?
Right.
In the
Yeah.
pool, laying beside the pool. All this other short dress is like, girl, come on.
And I saw her. Did I see her? Oh, it was in one of the highlights when they were showing Brooks from, I think it was PGA or wherever, one of the tournaments. She was in a bodysuit at the tournament.
Yeah, that's what she
Yeah.
does.
I mean, come on, man. Yeah. So that's one point. The second point was PGA headquarters. I passed it a couple of times on because it's right there by Sawgrass.
Sawgrass, yeah.
Yeah, I never knew where. And I passed like, I wonder if that's the headquarters. And then later on, I found like, oh, that is the headquarters. Okay. The one thing I do like about Full Swing as a show itself, when watching these first three episodes, I forget who won what last year. So going back and reliving, because they was talking about the PGA, I was like, as they were talking about, I'm trying to think ahead, like, who, I can't even remember who did win last year. So it's almost new to me when I say, oh, Brooks won, that's right. So that part of the show I do enjoy because it, like I say, it brings those stories back to, back to life. So now we can get to Mr. Damon. Now, Claude, I particularly watched this because there was some point you wanted to bring up. And I paid particular attention, tried to pay particular attention to everything he said to try and pick up what you were speaking about. And it was so many things that we could talk about. I'm not sure where to start.
Let's start with the fact that he used the phrase, the term, the sentence, since I became famous, or
Famous.
since all this fame, or since all
Yes.
the fame. When, no, you were on Full Swing One, yeah, but you're not famous.
Well,
Famous.
no, I know I'm gonna I'll push
Okay,
back on
go
that a
ahead. You
little
do it,
bit.
LB.
Yeah, just a little bit. Because I saw Joel at the Players Championship. Joel had a big crowd around him, and they were very vocal and very enthusiastic about him. Everywhere he went, people were cheering for him and pushing him along.
So,
So
yeah, if
if
I
it
may, so
wasn't, I don't think it was like that before
this is a
Full
difference
Swing.
between relative and absolute fame, right? So, if the three of us have zero fame, or at least the two of us, LB and I, have zero
Well,
fame
no, I
whatsoever.
mean, I have no fame either.
No, people know.
You got more
Everybody
than
seems to
us.
know Claude. Yeah, but if tomorrow, LB or I, or you listening, imagine you had the fame. Let's just say of your town's favorite sportscaster, you would notice immediately because be so it's that's the relative part of it where prior to season full swing season one, Joel Dahlman had zero fame, and now he's on an absolute scale, he's at two, but to him it's gonna feel like, wow, look at these crowds. Because I saw
Right.
both what you were saying, the absurdity of what you were saying, Claude, or what he was saying, excuse me, Claude, where he's like, because when you hear him say it, it sounds like, yeah, because it's like,
Yeah, like I'm a big
I'm
deal
with you. Like,
now.
he could walk into like 9 out of 10 homes in America randomly, and they'd be like,
Nobody
who
would
are you,
know.
stranger? Get
Right.
out of my house.
He can
At
literally
this,
be here in my neighborhood. We can go to Columbia Mall.
you
We can go,
could.
and he could have a sign, a name tag that
I'm
says
Joel
that I'm
Damon.
Joel Damon of the PGA Tour, and
Yes.
no one would talk to him because they don't know who he is.
Yeah, fame, like street famous and absolute fame, like in the world is different. But to LB's point, relative to him, though, the show made him a star on tour. And like, I don't know, 50 more people started following him around. And that probably feels like a lot. And even the wife was talking about it too. They, it was,
No.
I, and the, well, the part that was funny was how they were talking about it, though, Claude, as if they themselves were unaware of just like, I mean, since the fame has come in, we got the baby and we got the fame. And
Right,
when do we
right.
work? When
And
do
then
we
the cameras
practice?
around all
And they were speaking of
the
the fame as if the fame was bothering them. Like, oh, man,
Yeah.
this dude became so famous. Oh, this
Well,
fame.
I
And
think
then,
too. Go ahead. I'm sorry, but I was gonna say,
and
I
then,
think from Joe's perspective, the fame, this quote unquote fame that he has now has also increased his, commercial obligations. He's got to go speak to this place. He got to go here and do this. He got to go here and do that. So the time, that part of it too, I think is a big impact, as notwithstanding his mental impact, mental hurdles he's going to have to go come over, overcome. I think that's part of the problem too that he's have or they're experiencing now is the drain on his schedule.
So was fame the right word? Maybe instead of using fame, they should have said the
Notoriety.
notoriety
Yep, that's the
or
first thing I thought of was notoriety.
like the increase in people knowing who he is now. And fame might have been the word because they didn't have any other
We all
words.
understand it though. I we know what he's saying. Like you said, that's why I said it's absolute and relative. Relative to you picked up a slightly, you went from 0 to 1, and that's a 100% increase. And so you're like, wow, look at all these people. And then in the world, like you said, you could walk into Pentagon City Mall right now, and people would just be
Nobody
like,
know.
well, it's the wife talking about his drinking issues and things like that with a big glass of red wine in her hand. And she's holding it like she said, well, I'm famous now. Let me see how like actual wine connoisseurs hold their glasses. So she's trying to do this thing now. And she's talking about him, but you're saying it's about him, but here you are with this big old glass.
Hey, she said, I don't play golf. I take care of the babies. If I'm doing my
Right, I
job,
can drink
I'm
all day.
crushing it. I'm winning every major championship in baby and
I'm
household
not
taken care of.
breastfeeding any kids, and so why do I drink whatever I want to
Every
drink?
day you come home, his son is here and he's fed and he's alive. I'm doing my job. You need to go out there on tour and win. I will say real quick, LB, the notoriety part is the schedule part is one thing. I think the biggest thing, and I can't remember if it was Rappaport who said it, one of the side commentators said it. The 100% biggest thing, I think that's the problem for him now with his increased level of attention, is it puts a spotlight on your game and what you're doing in the tournaments. You cannot suffer in silence anymore and just be kind of like, oh yeah, Joel Damon, oh, what about him? Nope. Now everybody knows you're a
That you
loser.
suck,
Yeah,
that you stink right now. Yes.
yeah, basically,
So, let's do a quick poll. LB, is Joel Damon famous?
I'll give it no. No is the answer. If you if j j
Yeah,
just
I'm
that
gonna
sentence
go
by
with
itself, that implies absolute fame. No, because if
Right,
you go out
I'm
and just
gonna
ask
go
10
with
people, yeah, show them your picture.
I'll
Hey,
go
who
with
is this?
no.
They'd be like, I don't know. UPS delivery man. I don't know. I'm gonna
At a
go.
golf tournament though, he is famous.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there are a lot of guys walking around those tournaments. I spent a lot of time up by the scoring house with, where they come in and trade their cards in. And there, I mean, there's always a gaggle of people over there trying to get autographs. And as they come off the 18, they're cheering and all and whatever. There are plenty of guys who come off that 18th hole and walk past those people and they don't say a damn thing. Not even hi. Like, oh, I never heard anybody say, well, who is that guy? You know what I
That's my
mean?
naughty. That's my naughty to have to go through the crowd and be like, excuse me, sir, where are you going? It's like, I play in the tournament. Oh, are you? Oh, naughty.
Oh, I
Okay.
see your tag. Okay. Yeah. Let me see your
My
name
bad.
tag. Oh,
Didn't
okay.
know.
Check my sheet here. But
Yeah,
yeah,
my
there's a
naughty could be
lot of
walking
that
through
that's
that
going through.
crowd with the trophy in his hand and like, who's this guy?
Right. And especially if he takes his hat off, because see, for me now, he's known by his hat. When I see the hat, Joel, I know by the hat, and
True.
Peter, I know by the hat. They take their hats off, they're just another dude.
Jake Knapp could be walking through the crowd with a t-shirt that says Nap Time. And they're like,
Which
who's
is
this
dope.
guy?
Yeah,
Right, this
it's,
is
yeah, it's
dope.
weird. It's weird for you to have your last name on your shirt. But in contrast that in that same episode, contrasts that, you know, hey, the gallery. It is weird how popularity works though. So even on tour, Damon has the big crowd and everything else, and you contrast that with Wyndham talking about being at the U.S. Open, dominating, having a hearing a chance of Ricky and Rory, and he, you know, he's Wyndham's got kind of that like. Obviously, he beats himself up a lot, and there's that part in the episode too. But that's sort of like A type, I want to be a winner, I'm going to be successful type thing. And he kind of resents, not maybe not resents, but it's like, yo, I feel like an underdog hearing all these chants of Ricky and Rory and Ricky and Rory, and nobody, I'm in the lead, nobody's paying attention to me. And if I was there, I would
The
have told him, it's
exact
like, my guy,
opposite.
nobody knows you at the time. That's all. Yeah.
And he's the opposite of Damon, where he didn't see himself as famous. And
No, he
he
didn't.
speaks to a counselor and does everything a counselor says and spawns success, while Damon has a spiral out of control situation because he's not listening to anybody. Even
Yeah,
his caddy's weeping on a plane. And he's like, I didn't
Right. That was
perform.
touching. That was kind of touching. It
But
didn't make me
then, in
cry,
a
but it was
weird
kind of
way,
touching.
he come. It's like Damon comes up and like he wants to like kiss him and stuff, and he's like all hugging his head and stuff. It's like, yeah, come on, man, back up
Yeah,
just a
is
little
this one
bit.
didn't, you know, the first season endeared me to Damon a little bit, and I, you know, I still root for the guy. He's fine, but this one kind of like I was like, all right, man, like how old is he? Like in his mid thirties? All
Yeah,
right,
I don't
bro.
know. Let me see.
Yeah,
I
like
had his
let
name
me
up
that because I'm watching it, and it started making me be like, all right, bro, like tighten up, man. Like you know, like
here.
he talks about, oh, you know, I had a bad experience with it. And look, hey, listen, I got nothing to, you know, when it, after his mom passed, he saw the therapist.
36, by the way.
Therapy.
36.
Yeah, no,
Okay.
you too old for this. You too old to be a talk on TV. Like, well, you know, I thought I could show up and do the best. Look, check this out, homie. Check this out. Look at the best. Look at the top of your sport. Look at Scheffler. Go and ask Scheffler. Just send Scheffler a text. Hey, man, you practice? Do you practice? And when you say, what are you talking about? Okay, cool. Take a note, and then go ask like Jake Knapp and Nick Dunlap and all these other cats who are young who are behind you. Hey, man, do you practice? Okay, hell yeah. What you talking about? Do you practice? And here you are in the middle talking about, oh, well, I thought I could just show up.
Show up and play,
And he keeps bringing the fact that the loser mentality part of it that I didn't like was he keeps bringing it up in the show where it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm not practicing like I should. I got the baby and I just go home and drink and I'm not practicing like. And then when people challenge him, he wants to be a little defensive about it. It's like he's being a little bit of a baby to me about this. You stand up and cowboy up or nut up, whatever you want to say, and get your paper or accept the middle or the bottom where you're going to be passed by the other players. But don't whine about it. And then also do nothing. If that means seeing a therapist, whatever. You know, mental coach, no mental coach, that's fine. You know you need to tighten up. Your wife is talking about it on TV. The cameras talking about some, hey, yeah, you know, I told him straight to his face, like, hey, we're gonna be able to keep this house, champ. You keep this up. And he just comes off kind of passive and weak and woe is me and, you know, figure it out. And I like his caddy. I rock with his caddy because caddy feel like he's trying to tell him, he's like one of y'all in the group.
He's like his friend and his caddy, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
he's
He's
like
told him,
trying to
I
coach
don't
him
want a
up.
caddy for anybody else. I want a caddy for you. I have opportunities, but I want a caddy for you
Yeah,
because I
but also I
believe
need
in you.
money though.
But I need money. You got to
Yeah.
pay the rent.
But this,
Yeah.
so back, just one more thing about him. That was the topic last season with him about, you know, he, because he said then that he needed, people told him then, if he would just practice,
Yeah.
he could be so, he has so much God-given talent.
Yeah.
But if he would just put some effort into it, he could really be good. And so here we are a season later, and we still having the same conversation. So, you know, whatever his problem, I really believe is in his head. You know, he really does need therapy. He absolutely needs therapy. If
Yeah.
nothing else, just think, see what, look at what happened to you. Okay, just lost his name already.
Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely helped him. I mean, and as I can say, it's helped me.
Yeah. And it's weird because
Call me, I'll talk to you.
Wyndham Clark gives the vibes of an angrier person who seems less likely to be down. Like, even though the therapist did say that he was resistant, he seems like a more intense person where it's like,
Oh,
no, I'm going to figure
100%.
this out, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I can't, you know, I'm not the therapist. I can't play, try to analyze anybody. But, like, to me, when I watched the episode, I set the therapy part, the mental game coach, apart aside. Whether you need that or not, here's what you know. Here's what you know. You know, you're not dedicated to the sport like you should be. You know, you maybe have some talent you can capitalize on, and you're doing nothing about it. And time, which is the most important thing that you have, is just wasting away. And naps and Dunlaps are coming, and the Schefflers and the you know who else is winning recently? Just Scheffler. The Schefflers are passing you by, and the Roms and everybody else. So what are you gonna do? And it's to sit here on the second season, like you said, I'll be in the same spot. I was just kind of like, all right, come season three. I don't want to. Don't feature him again if he's like, well, I'm still here. Just Coming in 50th and I'm
And he doesn't like being famous. So just, yeah, write him
Although,
out.
now
See
that'll
you,
take care of, when he said that, I said out loud, I said, well, that'll take care of itself. Say, keep losing. And people will forget about you and they'll move on to the next thing.
Keep being exactly who you are and you won't have to worry about that anymore. So, Vern, let's go to your form over function and etiquette questions. And then we'll do our little rapid fire before we have to close.
So just this one, these two quick hitters here. The form over function. Coach is a listener of the show, went out recently to the PGA Superstore, I think in Richmond. They just built a new big one. And he told me, he says to Texas, hey man, I'm going to get a new putter. I'm going to get a Scotty Cam. Goes there, and I guess the lab putters are there. People are there. And for those who don't know, lab putter is like, I think something balanced or whatever. It's an acronym, stands for something. But anyway, it's a brand new putter manufacturer that showed up on the scene that makes these putters that are meant to be perfectly balanced. So in other words, if you held it at the end of the grip and the tip of your fingers and just hit it like a pendulum, the face wouldn't turn. It just moves back and through perfectly. So that's the whole claim to fame. The thing is, the lab putters don't look great. Their main claim to fame, if you can imagine a regular blade putter with like with a baseball diamond attached to the back of it, a huge big metal lobe attached to the back, doesn't look great. Go ahead, Claude.
It means lie angle balance.
Lie angle balance. There we go. Thank you. So these putters don't look great, but the people who use them swear by them, and they say they work really well. So in my dad's case, he went there to buy like a regular blade putter. He tried this putter out. And was like, hell, blown away by like how much, you know. And I don't think he had they have different ones. They have like this big one that is like the most balanced and has the most technology in it. But the owner himself has said, in a video with like a Random Golf Club, he was talking about how hard it is to get golfers. They try it and they love it. It's like, man, I'm hitting this thing pure out the center of the face. The roll is better. All the stats are there. But I can't get them to commit because they think they're going to get made fun of. And so my question is My question is, when
what is that
is
ugly
it?
Thing in your bag?
Yeah, well, what this thing, LB? That's my question to the group. Like for amateur golfers, even for pros, I guess. I feel like this is less of a thing for pros. I feel like pros don't care because they need money to live, and they're like, hey, if I gave a lab putter to somebody and they made like 10% more putts, I don't. They could give a hell about like, oh, it looks pretty cool. Like, come see me on the course and pay me money for losing. And then, but for us, since we don't get paid, looks are a lot of part of it. So like. For you guys, if I could give you this big oblong ugly putter, and let's just say you made 10% more putts, not even that's a lot. That's probably a few strokes at least per year. Would you game it, or would you just say, "Nah, it's weird"? I'm
I'd play it, okay. and I'd make fun of y'all every time I sunk a putt.
Yeah,
because
the whole idea of like in the video where the owner's talking about the putter, he went on and on about all the stats and all the technology, Claude, and everything else, and he was like, yeah, it's just, and he said that we had to develop all these different putters that look closer to
look
what
better.
They're used to, with some of the technology, but not completely balanced, just to get people in the door to see if we can get them to try this. And it was just funny to me that golfers who complain about
the, oh my goodness. If I just saw the price, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're very expensive, but it's all of golf. But that's the thing, Claude. If I could just shave one stroke, and then you give them something that says, well, this will do it. Well, that'll look ugly. Using that.
Well, as someone who played with a 7-wood and was made fun of a lot for having a 7-wood in his bag, I understand it because I also no longer have a 7-wood.
You put it right on the par 3. You dropped it right there, bro.
Right there. Right, the 7-wood.
I remember that shot.
One for 48, I do too. Whatever. But anyway, it's funny that you said that because I was at, Eagle 5 Golf in Columbia?
Oh, Columbia.
Yeah, very dangerous unless you're on the right side of the place or in one of the private rooms. And I saw a video of my swing. I didn't realize how I was over rotating, right?
Yeah.
But it was stopping all the slices. And that's what John Ross, who's been helping me, with my swing, has been showing
me.
That's
what he wants you to do.
Right. Okay. And I've been looking at it, and it is the ugliest thing that I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, and honestly, the first thing that came to my mind was, I look like a fat dude trying to like turn the ball over.
Oh no! How much your swing? Your swing would just.
But it's not leaking over or slicing to the left anymore, which is what it would do all the time.
Right.
Now I got the draw. It's working. And so it's like it's doing what you kind of wanted to do. You got to kind of control it as a hook, but it looks bad. And you're right. Like, I don't know if I want to take this swing into the season because it looks bad. But it, and Burn, you've seen it.
Yeah.
I put that driver up. I'll start to the left, and it's coming back.
It's coming back every
Everything's
time.
coming back. It's exactly what I want to do. I didn't know how it looked because whatever they have there, it will take a video of you from the front, the back, side, and the other
And
side.
down the line. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, that looks bad. And I'm like, I don't know. I need to switch the way my swing looks up. It's like, but if it's doing what you want,
If it works, it works. Right.
Yeah, so
everybody makes fun of Scottie Scheffler's footwork, but he's winning.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. I've been beat down by golf enough that I don't care about really. No, I don't care about how it looks. And maybe I'll even challenge myself to go get a lab putter and use it. Maybe I just talk myself into that challenge. Go now. It is a $450 challenge because it's an expensive putter, but I might go try one. And if it because I particularly with my one-handed putt, I roll it back and through. And technically, the blade putter that I use is not the best for that because that opens and closes. That introduces variability. So maybe I'll do that. But it does. It does. Like I think for some golfers, this will get beat out of you after bad round after bad round, or you know, you have the potential to do better. There's that, and then one. YouTube golf is maybe less. I care less about this. There's a particular video, a random golf club where they go to, I think, Bandon. It's called Breaking Bandon, where the owner of Lab Putters is actually playing in the video. And they bring random golf club. They bring these golfers of different handicaps from all over. And one of them, LB, I think I sent it to you guys, but one of them, LB, the 10 handicap from Atlanta. They call him what I think they, what they call him, like a short set or something like that. He basically plays with like seven clubs.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Has a wit, like to Claude's point, has a swing. If you saw it on the range, you'd be like, I don't know about that guy. He's a 10 handicap. Says a 10 can. He was out there getting up and down doing this thistle. So I'm kind of transitioning more into this old man. Like, hey, what works, bro? Like, what allows me to go out here on these trips with y'all and like be in contention for the birdie pot or do whatever? And if I can make that work, and it's like, oh, it just looks, you know. For I mean, look, we can always we can call out to the most famous one in the PGA Tour, right? Furyk. If you saw if you didn't know who he was and you saw him on the range, you'd be like, oh, this guy with his swings. So, oh, I made like nine figures on tour, so you
right,
can find out with that. Yeah, right. But you have a beautiful looking swing though with your what you 89. That's great. It's cool.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
So, but you got a carts on the Champions Tour thing you want
to? Yeah. Oh. Well, let me get to my story first, and I'll say that for last in case. All right. So just to close out the trip to Sawgrass. So I arrived at Sawgrass, went to Jacksonville on Tuesday. I planned to get there on Wednesday, but I ended up driving all the way through the first night. So the next morning I get up, I say, well, I got all day now. So because I wasn't going to the tournament till Thursday. Yeah. So I decided to play golf. Pull up my phone, find the closest golf course to me, which happened to be 2 miles away.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So I called, and I couldn't, there was no way to make a reservation or a tee time online. So I called the number, talked to the guy. So I said, hey, I'm looking to come out by 1 o'clock. Just want to see your availability. I said, yeah, we got plenty of time. So come on out. No problem. Put the address in the navigation. It takes me to the Jacksonville Naval Air Station, home of the Blue Angels.
Okay.
Now, at that point right then, I should have turned around.
Yeah, you should have.
I should
have. You know better. You've worked for MITRE.
I know. This story goes under the what were you thinking category. I should have turned around right then, but I didn't, Vern. I didn't.
Yeah.
I pulled into the parking lot, and I'm walking up to the – no, I'm sorry. I turned in. The officer at the gate.
Oh, you went to the gate?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what I was thinking, man. I have no idea what – I don't know where my mind was.
Golf.
My mind was on golf. So I pull up to the gate, and the guy says, and I put, you know, I see everybody showing ID, so I pull my driver's license out. That's what I got. So I hand to the guy, and he looks at the license, and he says, this is, you have a military ID? I said, no, I'm going to play golf. He said, golf. He said, okay. He said, well, you have to go in the visitor's entrance.
Yeah.
And it's okay. So he takes my license and turns me around, then hands me my license back and tells me to go down to the next light and turn in. It still hasn't dawned on me, Vern. It still has not clicked in my head yet. I go down to the next entrance, I pull in, I park, I'm walking up to the building, and I see the sign says you gotta have your driver's license, your insurance card, you know, all these things you gotta have to come on base. Again, not clicking. I go
You're
back
still
to my
golf.
vision
He's like,
group.
okay, cool. I have all that. Let's go.
Yeah, I go back to my car. I get all the information. I come back. I get in line. I get up to the window, and the lady, I hand her all my stuff,
Oh
and she
my
says,
God.
so who you here to see?" I
Who's your
said,
sponsor?
"Right." She says, "Who's your sponsor?" "Sponsor." I said, "No, I'm going to play golf." I said, "I
I'm
called."
here to see golf.
Right. I said, "I called," and the guy said they had opening, so here I am.
Get in
And
here.
she looks at me like, "Are you really serious?" And then she said, "You have a sponsor?" I said, "No, I don't have a sponsor. I'm just going to play golf." She
The
says,
guy at the pro
"Well,
shop.
right." She said, "Well, do you have anybody you can call?" And I'm looking at her like, "Call? No, I'm just
I've
going to
got a
play golf."
friend. I got a friend in Maryland, Vernon, who I play golf with.
He
So
was in the Air Force. Yeah.
finally she says, if you don't have a sponsor, you can't come on, you can't come in here." And I just say, "Okay." And she hands me my stuff back and I'm walking out. And as I'm walking out, then it clicks
You're
in.
like, oh, this is the military
This
installation.
is a military installation. Why was
That's
I don't
funny.
know
She
what
got
was
a
on my
story to tell her
mind.
friends. Like, this fool
Right.
came up talking about something.
But here's the thing too. Then as I'm walking back and that, the realization hits
Yeah.
me. I think about, then I remember like when I go to NIH sometimes because I go there and get a haircut. That's my
Yeah.
guy, the barber there. And I don't even go in, I park in the parking lot and walk in. I don't take my car in because they got search your car and all that stuff. And then I think about it. I had stuff in my car that could have got me locked up.
Okay. All
If
right.
they had done a car search.
Sure.
And
Yeah. Well, thank goodness.
right. So I get back in the car and I say, "Okay, let me find a real, a golf course
Yeah.
that's not on a military installation." So I end up going to Bears Creek. Bent Creek. I'm sorry, Bent Creek.
Okay.
It's another 5, 6 miles away. End up playing with a husband and wife that were from Montreal, Frank and Louise and Jay. So we get, I get up to, I get the lure, I hit some range balls. I get up to the tee box and the guy pushes me onto, "You playing with these two and this guy." And this guy was Jay. So Jay, I'm 60. I don't know how old Jay was, but Jay looked like he was every bit of 79, right? And Frank and Louise looked like they in their 40s or so.
Sure.
So we get up to the first tee and Jay pulls out his driver and walks to the tee box. And I'm thinking, I'm assuming me and Jay are going to play from the old man tees up front.
Yeah.
No. Jay's playing from back here with the 40-year-old guy.
Okay.
And after Jay hits his drive, I say to myself, "Jay, you need to be playing with me."
Right, you ain't playing up
Oh,
front, right?
no. Yes, Jay is back there and his ball barely got past the ladies' tees. And it was like that all day, Jay. I don't understand why Jay.
Quick side note, the same reason that Jay did that is the same reason, Claude, that people, if I said, even if I said 20% more putts, they won't do it. It's that
Right.
ego. How do I
Yeah.
look? What do I look like? This is the same thing.
And also, second side note, the forward tees, sometimes not the ladies' tees, just the
Right. Yeah.
anyway.
The
Yeah.
forward tees. Right. But Jay should have been playing with me and Jay would not. I mean, I didn't ever ask them. Well, I take that back. To the first hole when he walked into the tee box, I said, "You gonna play from back here?" And he's like, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, okay." And then he,
It's almost like they
then
don't even see it though. Like to me,
right.
because he is, I have as much ego as anybody else and everything else. But like at the point where like if it's like everyone coming back from some particular tee box is like in the fairway 150 out, and I'm like just making it to the edge of the fairway, after like the
Right.
second one, I'm like you, LB, I'm
Yeah, come
self-aware. I'm
on,
like,
man. What are we
you know
doing?
what?
Even in our
Yeah.
group, like, I mean, it happens every time we play. And usually I'm trying to like the initiators are usually Lawrence, Glenn, I think sometimes Lou, will say, "Hey, what tee box are we playing from, y'all?" Like someone's always going to ask, as opposed to just jumping for like, "Oh, we playing from no." Someone's always like, "Hey, what is it? 58, 61, 63, what we doing?" And when someone says, "You playing from all back there," that gives you the out right there. Like, "Oh, well, where are you playing from?" Up there, like, "Okay, cool, I'll play from up there." Because you can play it off like, "Yeah, I'll play from up there. It's fine. Yeah, up there, it's fine." So I hit my driver one time and it was terrible. So then I never hit it again, right?
Okay.
Frank kept, he was watching. He said, "Frank, your swing is good. Why aren't you hitting your driver?" I'm like, "Well, it's not going
Not
well.
working today.
It's
Yep.
not working today, so I'm just hitting my hybrid off the tee." So at one point, he takes my phone. He says, I'm gonna video you so you can see what you're doing." He said, "I think you're doing everything. When I can look in that, like you're swinging it fine." So he takes the he takes well well I mean this is Frank now.
Yeah, who's Frank?
Right.
Hey,
so Frank
that's
takes
Frank, a regular
he
guy.
takes my vid he takes the video and he does a slow motion video for me. And when I get back and he has I look at the video, I immediately see what's wrong. Immediately see what's wrong. And immediately fix it. So on the 18th hole, Frank had a new driver. I don't even remember what it was. It's something, is it, who had the red, like a red on top or red?
On the face, like a
on the face or something. Yeah,
yeah, whatever. Might be the TaylorMade QI10. Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. He had some new driver he had just bought because still had a sticker on it. And
I'm surprised they sold it to him.
Well, Frank was actually a pretty good golfer.
Oh, okay.
So on 18th hole, I said, well, let me, because he wanted me to try to drive her early. I was like, man, I'm not hitting that, you know, because I'm still trying to get my stuff together. So by the 18th hole, I felt like I was, whatever I thought I had fixed was fixable or whatever.
Okay.
So I take his driver, and I'll drive him by like 2 yards with his driver.
Okay.
So
okay.
I figured, I'm like, okay. But back to your point of the video that you talked about earlier, of seeing your swing.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah, that was, because I would have, if he hadn't have done that, I would have no idea what I was doing. You know what I mean?
Because I felt like
I felt like what I was doing was normal, what I normally would do. And it was, kind of.
And you figured, I got to change that. Like, that's
yes.
not what I should
yeah.
be doing. It's the Paul
exactly.
Wilson thing. Because when I saw mine, immediately, I couldn't care less where the ball was going. The only thing I was trying to do was fix
how
it
you looked. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fix how it looks, make it look like the pros, and then we'll, you know.
Right, so. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Mike sent a text the other day. From our group asking about a training aid or something, whether or not it was useful. And I kind of commented and I said, that's fine. And then, but then I followed up and sent him an Amazon product of like a $15 tiny collapsible golf tripod.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mike, this is the best training aid you can have right here. I was like, you go to the range, you can film yourself if used properly, obviously. And even if, and again, you don't have to be a golf swing nerd like me, you can send it. But if you have a video of it, you can send it to an instructor, you can send somebody online or whatever, and they can. But if you don't know, like you said, LB, if you don't know, you're just assuming like, well, the ball did this, so I guess I'm doing it right. It's like, no. And there is somebody who's looked at his swing for a long time on camera, and I've been chasing this compression position and trying to get into this pro level impact for years. I can tell you, there is nothing more disheartening, Claude, than like going out and having a good session. I'll have a good session. I'm like, I've got it today. I did it. I go home and look, and the swing looked the same. My arms are coming out. And,
I remember having the worst range session of my life, maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And like literally for about an hour and a half at night in the bed with my phone in my hand, looking over and over and over at my range session, like, you got to get this right. You like, look at this track.
That's what
like,
got you.
Demeaning myself, like laying in the bed looking at this phone.
Like what is this? What is it? So real quick, I'm sorry, LB, was that?
Yeah, that's the gist of it, was the video, because that was eye opening for me.
Okay. All right. It was good. I hope you add that. Again, I'll send you the same Amazon link. Again, it's a small, very small tripod.
I have some of those. I use
you do?
Things.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, you good? So real quick etiquette question for both of you, just in general. So in a public, let's say locker, like a, let's say individual stall bathroom, like the kind that has just one place, you got to shut the door, you lock it. Like, I'll put you both in a situation. Just say you're standing in the restaurant hallway or something, and you see someone walk up to a bathroom door and open it, and then someone inside says, oh, occupy. Oh, and they say, oh, they have the whole oops situation. They got to shut it real quick, and then they go on to the next one. Who is at fault in that scenario?
Oh, the person who didn't lock it. You got to lock it.
Okay, Claude, LB.
They both are, in my person, they both are.
But if you got to assign blame to one person for why that incident occurred, where would you put it?
I would put it on the guy who opened the door, because you always look under the stall.
So even if you couldn't see, so here's the thing: if this was a rest, like a full door restaurant thing or whatever, Claude. And this is why I asked this question, because it gives insight into the psyche of the person a little bit about, you know, I don't know, blame or whatever you want to say. But I teach the kids, and this came up also. So this has come up for me. It came up for me last week. I was just at work in an individual stall, and I could hear somebody coming down the hallway. Now, the door was locked. No, not that one. I don't do any more videos at work anymore. I just sit quietly and just do my business. But I could hear somebody coming down the hall, and they came up to the – they stopped in front of the door and, like, very hard jiggled it and then went on to the next one. And I thought, And then the previous week, my kids go to, like, a swim school. And they're not bathrooms, but they're
like changing stations.
Like changing stations. And we're leaving to go get into a changing station. And I always teach my kids lock and knock. lock and knock. All right. So if you're in, you always lock. And if you're outside, you always knock. LB, like they almost, my daughter walked up to one of the ones that started to go open. I said, oh, hold up, hold up. And then we heard a voice inside there. And I said, see, and I told her, this is a long rambling point. I think it's on the person in that situation that I gave you where somebody does the whoopsie. I think it's on the person who's outside. I think it's on the person who did not knock. The assumption that there's nobody in here, because again, you're the last line of defense. Those people are at fault that you need to lock it, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't want to see somebody, and this is what I told my kids, I was like, if you don't want to see something gross on the other side of that door, you can prevent that. Just give a quick boop, audible check. Hey, it's like, you know, such, such, cool. And so that's why I asked the question, like, who's at fault here? To me, I always put it on the knocker because I tell my kids, it's like, you're the last line. If you open the door and someone's in there, that's on you. I was like, the responsibility is yours. I always put it on myself. Should they have locked the door? Sure, they should have. Does that negate you from checking? It does not. It does not. Never assume. And I tell them, because even in our house, I tell them, any shut door, first of all, y'all can't shut the doors. This is old school. Y'all can't shut the doors. But any shut door where we are in, you do not, you don't just walk up and open it 100%. So that's true in public. So I was just curious where y'all with that situation.
Absolutely.
That's a good question. I think gotta lock it.
I agree. Don't assume it's for you though, Claude. Don't assume.
I won't even use the restroom. I won't even if they don't have a lock on. Like I'm not using it. Like there's no
right. Then you got to. Then you got to sit with your foot against the door.
Yeah, you're trying to move your hand and just lock. Like no.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. If it doesn't have one where I can prevent it, I would. But again, in a situation where there are no locks, if we do the lock and knock rule, both parties are protected at all times. Exactly. Okay. So anyway.
LB, you want to jump on this cart on the championship?
Yeah, real quick. Okay. I know a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Tiger, whether he should quit or not and all that stuff. And yesterday's tournament, on the Champions Tour, I'm not going to say his first name, but his last name is John D, had a golf cart yesterday in the tournament. So I looked it up and this is what I found. In 2006, the Champions Tour Division Board of the PGA Tour organization voted to allow players the option to use golf carts during most, I put that in quotes, most events on the tour. The five majors and certain other events, including pro-ams, are excluded.
Okay.
So Tiger could go on the PGA, on the Champions Tour, and he could use a cart at majority of the tournaments if he so chooses. And I didn't know that because it seemed odd to me that if the players are given an option to use a cart, most of them don't. Because when I saw him, it was like, hey, he's got a cart. What's wrong with him? Because nobody else had a cart. And the other part I thought was kind of interesting, at least from what I saw, the caddy wasn't in the cart. It was just the player.
The player gets to use the cart.
But the caddy still got to hump the bag up.
That's ridiculous. That's over ridiculous. But the reason they're not using the cart, call back to the lab putter situation, this, the early part of the conversation. Ego, looks, pride, everything else. Yeah, 100%. Where it's just like, peer pressure, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe, too, from a pro perspective, too, if you are a player of the people, if you're in a golf cart whizzing past people, now you know what I mean? Now you can't – I mean, really, you don't have that interaction now with a lot of the fans, you know, they
or even the other golfers, even the other golfers walk with your homies.
Exactly. But yeah, so Tiger has an out. Yes,
Tiger should do that. Tiger should do everything he can do to save professional golf because professional golf needs help. It needs Tiger to step up, be the elder statesman, and save the game.
Yes, because Rory is no longer going to be the scapegoat, as he said.
Yep, he's
he's like, I spent a
tired,
whole year.
Very tired,
I've been a whole year defending these clowns. Yeah, and then they turn around and say, we like him now.
And find him $3 million.
Right.
Find you and partner with them. All right. It's Golf DMV. We'll be back next week.